May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. This morning, we celebrate the life of St. Peter and think about his life and witness to us today. Now, I don't normally do this, but I have given today's sermon a title, St. Peter, Fisherman to the Rock, a Man of Contrasts. We first meet Peter in the Gospels as Simon the fisherman, and today we encounter him as the rock, the holder of the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Peter is a man of contrast, a person both of great faith and of transparent weakness, and this is why we like him. There is story after story of Peter's leaps and dips of faith. He makes great mistakes. Yet he wants more than anything to get it right, to understand the one he is following. And Peter's entire journey is important, for I doubt he would have become the great leader he was if he had not first faced his own need for God's forgiveness. Peter's journey takes a turn when Jesus asks the question that has become central to the Christian faith, "Who do you say that I am?" And the way Peter answers this question will dictate the rest of his life. His revelation as Jesus, as the Son of God, permeates his calling as a disciple and his vocation as a leader in the church. Who do you say that I am? The children from St. Peter's school thought about this question the other day. To help them explore the question, I asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And a few of them said, "You're Reverend Julie. You're a woman. You're a vicar." One young girl said, "You are the person sent to teach us about the identity of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Now I admit the weight of this response spoke directly to me and to my calling. I then asked the children to look to the person next to them and ask, "Who do you say that I am?" And you might like to do this now. Look to the person sitting next to you and imagine what they might say or what you might say to them. So what did Jesus mean by this question? Was he referring to his identity as a first century Jewish man, a carpenter, a teacher, a healer? Well, yes, but he was also speaking of something beyond these mere descriptions. And Peter's answer sets us in the right direction to an understanding. Refer to a moment to our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter has been captured and imprisoned for proclaiming the new Christian faith. And he has what seems like a dream or a vision involving an angelic figure. This mysterious angel frees him from his chains and releases the gates of his prison. And suddenly, Peter finds himself awake outside the gate. He realizes he has not been dreaming. God has set him free, and he has done this for a very particular reason. I wonder what it was like for St. Peter in those early years of the church. They were a mixed bunch of people. Some were Jewish, others Gentile, some wealthy and powerful. Most were poor and slaves. It couldn't have been easy. And we might imagine that during these years, he often looked back to this event in prison. For God was with him in an extraordinary way that day, and he continued to be with him throughout his life. And the same can be said for us. We may not need release from prison. We may not be leaders of a new movement. But God walks with each of us through the particular journey of our lives. Life with God, however, is not always easy. For like Peter, we are people of contrasts. Sometimes we feel like walking on the water with Jesus. Other times, we would rather run away in fear. I think we would all agree that we live in difficult and divisive times. And yet, as Christians, we believe that God is with us in the midst of it. The other day, during our outreach group meeting, we discussed the possibility of holding a welcome party for refugees on the day of Donald Trump's visit to London. And the idea is to do this intentionally as a sign of our belief that all people are welcomed and loved by God. And as we made plans, Matthew, our pastoral assistant, asked, "Is it okay for the church to be political?" Now, I think this is a very good question, for the church is not a political organization. And we, of course, welcome people from a variety of political opinions. And at the same time, as representatives of Christ in our world, we have a calling, a responsibility to be a prophetic sign of God's love for all people. And we do this in many ways, through our relationships, through our work life, and through our engagement with the community. As Peter did in his day, it is important for us to think clearly about how we might speak into the public arena, to speak peace into a world sorely in need of peace. So what might this look like? It will entail looking to the needs of the vulnerable, to those who suffer most in our world. It will involve caring for those who are ill, those in need of a friend. It will mean valuing and listening to people on the edges of our community, to those who will not always have a voice. For when we do this, we are drawn into the heart of our faith. When Peter proclaims Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus responds by giving him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, theological traditions differ on what this means, and you'll be happy to know I won't give you a detailed explanation this morning. I would like us, however, to think a bit about what Jesus means by the kingdom of heaven. What and where is this kingdom? Does it really exist? And if so, how will we know when we find it? Well, the simple answer is this. I believe we see and experience the kingdom of heaven when we give and receive the love of God. The kingdom of heaven is a place where the peace and mercy of God is realized. It is a place of true freedom, for that is where the prophets were pointing, freedom from oppression, freedom from persecution, and freedom from domination. Here we find freedom to believe, to hope, and to love. When Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" I don't think he was too concerned about hearing the correct answer. I think Jesus was looking beyond his question and into the hearts of those listening. And Jesus is doing the same with us today. If we, like Peter, meet the Son of the living God, this changes the way we see the world. Saying yes to Jesus means saying yes to freedom. It means saying yes to hope. And it means saying yes to a new way of life. Amen.